Jesus, we come this morning to celebrate the entrance of our Savior into the earth. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Without him, there will be no hope in this life and definitely nothing in eternity. Therefore, we thank you this morning for his life on this earth. We come in this service to celebrate him in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, maybe seated. I'll just be brief. I think I'll continue this message on Sunday. But I've preached all my Christmas messages all the year, so it's nothing I've not preached. I preached wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger, everything. So let me preach this one. Huh? Matthew chapter 1. Verse 22 and verse 23. First of all, your decoration is excellent. All right. And I watched your carol service. I was. All right, Matthew 1, 22 and 23 here. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us." So I want to preach this morning briefly on his name, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's the meaning of that name. And so one major thing that Christ came to bring to humanity was that in any situation you are in, you can confidently, or wherever you are, no matter where you are, or the experience that you are having, even if it's a consequence of your own mistake, you can boldly say that God is with me. That it tells us, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, and the reason is that God is with you. That prophecy came from Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And there it tells us in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it says there, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In other words, God is with us. Now, Psalm 46. Verse 1 to 7, let's just read that. It speaks about God being with us, what we should expect. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. It says, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof." It tells us there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And then he goes and says, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early." And he says, "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted." And then verse 7, it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Now, in order to understand what it means, all right, when you say God is with us, so you don't get confused about what that promise is. Because Kenneth Hagin wisely said, sometimes you define something by clarifying what it is not. Now, God being with you doesn't necessarily equate to God being for you. Understand this. So if I embark on something that is not right, God is not for me in that, even though he's with me. Are you following what I'm saying here? And because he is with you, your conscience will tell you that what you are doing is not correct. Do you understand what we're saying here? He is with you doesn't necessarily mean he is for you on that particular thing. Now, so there is God being with a person, which means that even when Jonah disobeyed God and ran into, the scripture tells us, a boat to flee away from the presence of God, God was with him in that particular situation, and God stirred something up to correct him and to bring him back on course. So God being with us is guaranteed. In other words, anywhere you are in any situation, he says, I've engraven you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continuously before me. So this tells us that you have a Savior, that even if you fall to the depth of the earth based on something that you made a mistake, you can announce, God is with me here. Even if a person is thrown into jail for what they did that was wrong, God follows them into jail. Do you get what I'm saying here? Okay? Now, when a person is with you, what that person means, that person is sharing in the experience that you are having. So if you're having an experience there that is sinful and the Holy Ghost is with you, he's grieved by that particular thing, and he demonstrates that he is grieved by it, for he's with you. All right? If you are going through a painful thing where maybe you suffered a loss there, that same feeling that you have on the inside of yourself, Jesus also has that same feeling. That's why he's touched by the feelings of your own infirmity. In other words, he's with you in that particular thing there, right? Expressing his own emotions also within that particular place. So it's a shared experience of a person being always with you, right? Being in that situation there with you. Now, he wants to do something about that particular situation. And this is what we'll just quickly talk on and wrap it up. He wants to do something about it because he is right there with you. But he wants to do. So never in your heart say that maybe God is not with me. God is with you, all right? But you want to convert that to the manifest presence of God within your life. So the person who is getting blessed beyond measure, God is with that person as much as he is also with the person that has no trace of God's presence within their lives. God is with both people, right? There is no improvement you can make on God being with you because he is with you. Now, sometimes we're back on things that he is not for us in it, and he shows that he is not for us in that particular thing. But he is right there with you, working on the inside of you, trying, all right, to get something done for you. Now, when someone is for you, that means the person is actively participating with the intention there and purpose of achieving a particular goal. So when he's for you there, he's working with you to achieve a certain goal within your life. All right? So he's with you. So have that. I mean, make that part and parcel of your confession. God is with me right here. I don't doubt his presence here. He is with me. His hand is upon my own hand. The issue is I may not be with him, but he definitely is with me. Now, what brings about the presence of God is when you, all right, are now with God on that issue. Now, many people, God is with them, but they are not with God, all right, on the things that God wants to do. Now, if you look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 10, and Moses showed us this conversion process here. Exodus 33, verse 10 here. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar, all right, saw the cloud of glass stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in the tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And then he turned again into the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. That tells you the secret to success with God. Now, verse 13, the Bible says, now therefore I pray thee. All right, verse 12. Let me see verse 12 again. Maybe I missed. All right. Moses said unto the Lord, see that thou seest unto me. Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. So Moses went to meet God, and he said, theoretically, you have said you are with me. Theoretically, you have said I have found grace in your sight. However, we need to convert this thing to actual reality within our lives, not just the theory of this. So he went on and said this to God. The next verse. It says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way. And this is a prayer you should have for 2025. I'll show this. The Lord, since you are with me, show me your way on this particular thing. Which means there is something I have in my heart. Deep down, I want fulfilled in 2025. Lord, show me your way. Now, let's go on there. It says this here. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How will it be known all this in Christed reality of our redemption, of God being with us and all of this? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people, from the people that are upon the face of the earth. In other words, this is what he's saying. For there to be a distinct divine distinction and a separation from all the other people that are on the earth, which means people see clearly that this is the presence here, there's a separation. What we are experiencing is not what these folks are experiencing, even though we're in the same situation. Are you following what I'm saying here? That there is a divine distinction. That is not just the fact that theoretically we are saying, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, or that we found grace in thy sight. There has to be that distinction. And look at what it says next there. It now says there, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, so there is something called the presence of God going with you. And Moses said something powerful. He said, God, if your presence is not with us, that's the manifest presence now. He said, God, I am not going up. And he said, the way in which this will happen is show me the way. Now, in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, God spoke to Jonah to go to Nineveh and go and preach. And Jonah rose up unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. In other words, he left the presence of the Lord. So there's something called the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter your geographical location, it's whether you have the presence. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's not the geographical location that matters. It is the presence of God. And Moses knew that, said, God, if your presence is not going with us, I am not going. Because I will not find rest in that particular thing. No matter how inviting and enticing it looks.
And he says, how do we get your presence? He says, show me your way today. So your presence will go with me. Now look at what happened to Jonah here. The Bible says Jonah, it says, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare thereof. So he had the money to finance himself out of God's presence. This is why it is not good for you to prosper if you don't yet know the Lord. Look, that's why, you know, sometimes in ministry, you know, people will make suggestions and believe that because you have the capacity and the resources to do it, it's a no-brainer. Listen, you can have the capacity and resources. Listen, I mean, you find it incredible. Bishop Nico said they bought their private jet. As he landed on the tarmac, like God spoke to him, this jet shall not be used to go out of the Federal Republic of Nigeria until I authorize you. He's on the eighth year now. Not that you are going to catch a flight, oh, not that you're going to enter an airline. Oh, there is a jet that at the wink here you can go. I say, I'm leaving the country. He said, you are not going anywhere. Because if you enter that jet out, you are leaving the presence of God. You must understand that. So the fact that, and God will not entrust a person with things until you recognize the presence. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now look at what it says here. And he went down to it, and he paid thereof and went down to it to go to Tarshish from what? The presence of the Lord. Now look at what happened. God was with him. So God sent a great wind into the sea. Now God was still with him, but he wasn't carrying the presence. Are you following what I'm saying? So let me just close here and show this here. So what's the key today? It says, show me thy way. All right? And he says, I will enter into rest. Now we can understand Psalm 16. Let's start reading from verse 8. This is why I say, even if you are deep in hell, God is with you, but you now have to convert it. All right? Okay, let's start from verse 6. It says, the lines are falling in place where I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7. I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. My reins shall instruct me in the night seasons. Now, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the what? Path of life. In thy presence, which means when he shows you the path, that's when you get into his presence. Do you see it? What I was saying there? And he says, there is fullness of joy, which means you are right there in that situation there, you are praying to God. I'm praying, God, show me your way. I'm only in this situation here because I may have missed something. I say, show me your way. And then God opens up and shows you the path of life. And you say, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And everybody on this earth, you have a path. And listen, there is something that God has for you to do on this earth. Look, I'm not talking that you have to do ministry. It's not that I'm full-time ministry. Most of the people in full-time ministry, God didn't call them. Most of the people in full-time ministry, God didn't call them. Let me tell you this. Many people in full-time ministry, God didn't send them. They just said, I want to be minister. Listen, the marketplace is the place where you can show that presence the most. And so you need to ask God, show me the path of life. Show me your way in this particular thing. What exactly do you want me to do? Kenneth Hagin told the story of them. Pastor Joe was telling me this when he was going to the 13th anniversary. He said he had an accident. He was in hospital and he was wandering and maybe he had fractured his arm. And Jesus walked in and told him, he said, look, he said, I called you into the prophetic ministry and into the teaching ministry. But the emphasis I had for you was on this particular one here. You've switched it. And he said he had been in ministry, he was preaching for full gospel, he was doing all things. He said, but you are not inside what I have planned for you. He says, there is a path of life I want you to go through. Because God had called him again. Now, he could have been preaching everywhere, but there was a message he wanted him to bring to the world. There was a whole generation of Christians he wanted him to raise. Nobody in the last 50 years has influenced the church in Africa as much as the spirit of Kenneth Hagin in terms of the raising up of people where he never even saw the people, those people didn't physically come to Africa, but the message went out. People embraced it because he found the path of life there. I listened to some of his messages again, and I called my friend and said, this man knew stuff. He found the path there of life. And everybody has that path. Or else what will happen is that you just keep saying, God is with me, God is with me, God is with me. But that presence, look at what happened to Cain. Let me just show you. Genesis 4, all right? Because of time, verse 15, I believe. Let's go to verse 15. After he killed Abel and all of that, and the Lord said, Lord said unto him, all right? Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on himself, and Lord set a mark upon Cain, finally will kill him. Look at verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Same thing happened to Adam. He left the presence of God. And God said, from the sweat of your face, you eat bread. Do you see what I'm saying there? The struggle started because he was out of the presence of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Someone was telling me something in America. I looked at it. Sometimes people have a sense of superiority when they are living in another country and they are Nigerians. I looked at it. I said, my friend, we will not trade our soul in Nigeria. Listen to me. I was telling them all this stuff of people bring and trying to use political power to introduce things into Africa that is not consistent with scripture nor with the Bible. I said, we'll finance. I said, he told me, without all these people, I said, we are not compromising. Then he looked and said, the country, I said, Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Nowhere is as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. He fell. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's better to be in Nigeria in hardship and you're in obedience than to be in America driving on 24 hours light and you are in the, do you get what I'm saying? Is the presence, if you don't know that, that is the presence of God. That is the real issue there. And that presence there means that you go to God and you respect that. That look, if I don't have the presence, that something will happen. Now, let me just close, all right, with this. So I will show you something about the presence. So we'll take it up on Sunday. So you don't misunderstand what we are saying. Because the Bible is a simple book, but it's an extremely deep book. Now, what this means is, when it's explained to you, it is simple. But in that simplicity, there is depth. Now, Jonah left the presence of God. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible tells us, Jonah 1:3. But Jonah fled from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down with touches from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners there were afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship, in the sea, to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he was there fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. So essentially what happened was, Jonah disobeyed God. The wind came up. Jonah was asleep at the corner of the ship, undisturbed by the trouble. Are you following what I'm saying here? And they came to meet him and said, oh, sleeper. Look at that last verse I said. You want to say that? Put the last verse I quoted here. I want you to say something. The last verse I quoted. All right. Didn't you? It says, think upon us that we do what? Perish not. In other words, don't you care we're about to perish and you call upon your God? Is that what they were saying? Okay. Now, Jonah was in disobedience. You get this? A wind came. Jonah was asleep. They came and said, don't you care that we perish? Isn't that what happened? Do you agree with me? Okay. So let's look at Jesus. John 1:3-6. I think it's John 11. Let me check it. Sorry. Second. Let me put John 11:3. Oh, yeah, it's not. Where's my? How am I in trouble? Please, the scripture says, "Care not doubt that we perish." Can you pull up the scripture? Okay, it's not that they'll perish, please. Aha. Sorry. All right. Verse. See this one. All right. Go to verse 36. Okay, yes. This will work. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. It's Mark 4. All right, 35. Now, and when he sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little sheep. Verse 36, please. Verse 36. And when he had sent away, sorry, verse 35. Let's start from 35. Now, and in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us do what? So who said we should pass over? Okay, so it's Jesus will that he should pass over. Okay? So verse 36. And when they are sent away, he took on little ships. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm. So Jesus said, let us pass over. This is not disobedience. Are you following what I'm saying? We are with Jesus. And a great storm arose, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Where was Jonah? He was asleep at the corner. Where was Jesus? And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Are you following what I'm saying here? Jesus and Jonah were doing the same thing. One was in disobedience. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Okay, look at him there. You see, they said, the Bible is very interesting. Asleep in the pit, that's why you can't just preach. When the wind blows, it means you have missed God. When the wind blows, you have missed God. Repent. It may not be that. Asleep in the pillow, and they went to awake him, saying to him, Master, isn't the same thing? Carest not thou that we do what? Perish. Is it not the same thing? But you see, this is where distinction comes. The person that has presence, look at the next verse. He says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the still, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. Verse 40, what was the effect? And he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then they said, they feared and said to them, what manner of man is this? You see the divine distinction now. One they took and threw off board. So it is not the challenges you face. It's the confidence you have on the inside when there's presence. Do you get what we're saying here? You will face it as nothing. You get what I'm saying here? You will face it as nothing. That somebody else went to hide. You are fearful. That thing is inside, not outside. You are shaking. Oh, I'm not sure. But somebody who is going with the presence of God, right? Even though externally they seem to be going through the same things. So you are in a space where the same winds are blowing. Somebody has presence, another doesn't have. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. They embarked on a journey to start a business, to build a business. One just went. The other one said, show us the way. When they got in, the same wind started blowing. The same policies were coming out. One said, peace be still. Another one said, the only way this thing can stop is carry me back. I was not sent on this journey. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible tells us about Joseph. It tells us that Joseph was in Genesis 39, 1 to 3. Joseph was in prison, was brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer, captain of the guard, brought him to the hands of Ishmaelites, and they brought him thither. And the Bible says, and the Lord was what? With Joseph. He was a slave. And he was a what? Prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the Bible says, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. This is not that you are saying the Lord is with me. The master did what? Saw. That's presence. That's everybody will see. And what secures this is that Moses said, we know the way to this day. We will go into the tabernacle of the Lord in worship. And there we will ask him, the Lord, show us the way in which we ought to go. Show us the path of life in this thing. We are not going without you showing us. And we will stay there until he shows us the path of life. And says, if you do it like this, and like this, and like this, you are going to get the result. And let me tell you something here. Jesus was not surprised that the wind blew. Because when God shows you the path of life, he will show you the challenges to come. Do you get what I'm saying here? A rhema is not just that God said, go. It's that he will explain to you things. So when Jesus went to sleep, Jesus knew that we've seen the end of this matter. We are on the other side. When Jonah went to sleep, Jonah was running away. You understand this? From the problem, because he knew what the issues were. So to have God is with you, Jesus has come and said, I am with you. But let's learn to convert that into a divine distinction so that we're not just theoretically saying, God is with us, God is with us, God is with us. And then we are doing things that are carrying us out of God's presence. But there's a witness on the inside that God is with you, that you're a born-again Christian. That witness will never leave you. You will know God is there. He's with you. There will be a witness on your heart. You will know, all right, that he's with you. But on the outside, to have his presence, you have to go there. That's what is called the manifest presence of God, where people will see that there's a distinction between. And this is what God wants to bring. Because it's the people that carry presence. For example, Jacob entered Laban's house with presence. Not with the theory that I'm a child of Abraham. Are you following me here? But with presence. Our problem in this Christianity thing is that people are teaching this grace, that you have grace, you're a child of God, you have grace. But people don't, you saw what Moses told God. He said, you said I found grace in your sight. Let it be evident. Do you get what I'm saying here? What we are preaching is that other side. No matter where you are, you have grace. God is with you. God is with you. That is it. The nation is collapsing. God is with you. No, are you following what I'm saying here? It is Joseph that built up what he was doing. It's Joseph that saved the nation of Egypt. It is Jacob that went in and saved, all right, Potiphar's house. In order to do that, you have got to say, Lord, show me your way. This, I am a righteous of God in Christ. It's enough. Tell God, it's enough now. Let it be clear. That's what, it's enough. I've heard this. Jesus himself came and said, stop saying you have Abraham as your father. We've heard it enough. The axe is laid to the roots. You understand? I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passing, but the old things are still living. Do you get what I'm saying here? I'm still living. Somebody called me. I was saying what she said. Government is, abroad, and everybody's coming to Nigeria for, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, for Dirty December. She said to me, Pastor, I think you pastors do not know we are on the streets. Many of these people in this Dirty December come to churches on Sunday. It is the truth. There's no lie. People will come to church on Sunday. Jesus is loves me. Jesus is with me. He's with me, with me, with me. And then they go as Dunsi said to brother so and so's place too. And they're dancing. Are you following what I'm saying? And they can even be praying in tongues in the place. Like somebody put out something in a nightclub. He said, this nightclub I came, this thing looks demonic. You will know he's a Christian that is there. God is within. Do you get what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying? Merry Christmas and God bless you.